Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to Nations Church Online. We're so glad you've joined us for this stream of our service today. You've made a great decision. Hey, we're going to start by just praying over our giving, praying over our prayer requests. I wonder if you could join me. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to you that you are a generous, generous Father to us. We love you, we adore you, and we give you our whole lives. And part of that, we give you our finance. We return to you what is rightfully yours. We do so in faith. We do so in partnership with the Almighty. Father God, we pray over every prayer request that has been lodged over the last 7 days, Lord, no matter where they've come from throughout the entire earth. We pray over them, Father God. We lift our faith on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling at this time, Father. We ask that you would release miracles in Jesus' name into every situation, God. Financial miracles, miracles of health, healing, and wholeness, Lord. Miracles in people's mental health right now, that they would defy the diagnoses of the doctors in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that a day is coming where the praise reports are going to overwhelm the prayer requests, God, that we will testify of your greatness, your goodness, and all for your glory. All for your glory, Lord. Now, as we gather around your word, would you be in us? Would you be with us? Would you be through us, Lord? Would you take the words that I've prepared and, Lord, use them to individualize, to personalize, Lord God, what it is that your Spirit is wanting to say to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, why don't you shout amen? Amen. And amen, and amen. Hey, we're so glad that you've joined with us. I know we're in many rooms at the moment. And I don't like it, for one. I would rather be with you gathered in one room and having hugs and all that sort of thing. But hey, we're grateful for Jesus, because we might be in many rooms, but we gather under one name. His one name. And we're also grateful for technology that affords us the ability to at least gather together in this season in this way. I hope you all had a happy Easter. In spite of everything that's going on, I hope your Easter was happy. For Ken and I, it was the weirdest Easter we've ever had. It was so quiet. You know, we've been church pastors for 16 years, and we're used to Easter being just the most massive weekend, full of crazy, full of busy, rushing here and there. And yet this Easter was so quiet. You know, it was probably quiet for you too. But nonetheless, I do hope that you managed to have a great time surrounded by friends and family, even if it was just one at a time. You know what I'm saying? One at a time. We're good, obedient people. But I have the pleasure of opening the word with you today. And I want to take some time to share from my heart just a few observations that I have noticed in this strange season that we have found ourselves in. As I've spent time in prayer, and as I've lent into the heart of God, there's been some things that have been pressing on my spirit. There's some things that I might, you know, be sensing that God is saying or doing or wanting to speak in this time. And they're the things that I want to kind of share around today. And one thing that I've noticed as I have reflected on the current season, I've thought back, and it's been interesting to me how in recent years, there's been so many churches that have really intensified their conversation around this idea of revival. You know, if you cast your mind back to 2018 and definitely 2019, there's been, you know, movements and denominations and different individuals that have been talking about revival and praying praying for revival. And we've had revival, you know, meetings and revival nights and conferences. And we ourselves at Nations Church have had our own revival prayer meetings. And there was this sense of great expectation coming into the brand new decade. Remember that? The brand new decade. That this was the time that revival was going to be poured out. And yet here we are. April 2020, and we can't even gather. I mean, what's with that? We're stuck in our bedrooms. We're stuck in our living rooms. Going to the backyard is like a great adventure. So that's what this has come to. And if you're anything like me, it all feels a little bit unsettling. You know, what was all that about? Did our prayers for revival, are they unanswered? Because revival wasn't supposed to be like this. Revival was supposed to be like packed rooms and extra services. Belmont and Port Kennedy, you know what I'm talking about. It's supposed to be full altars and all of these things. Certainly not what we're experiencing right now. But the more that I've been praying and the more that I've just been allowing God to speak, my thinking is reshaping and reforming. And I believe that our prayers for revival are actually being answered in real time. I believe that revival is now. Revival is happening under our noses. There might be some people listening and you're like, well, what even is revival? What do you mean? And I guess when we say revival, we're talking about a great spiritual awakening. We're talking about multitudes of people, many, many people putting off the ways of the world and turning back to God, not just with half hearts, but with whole hearts and with full hearts, that they would turn back to God. Multitudes, multitudes. That's what we speak about when we're talking about revival. And I believe by faith that is happening right now. I believe that revival is now to the ones who are ready, to the ones who can receive it. I believe there is an outpouring of a great spiritual awakening that is happening right now, even in the middle of a global pandemic. I don't believe that God ordained this pandemic. I don't believe that it's in his heart. You know, we know that we live in a fallen and broken world. We know that stuff happens. I think mature believers understand that sometimes God allows in his sovereignty something that he could have prevented by his power. Sometimes God does that and it's a bit of a mystery. But just because he didn't ordain it doesn't mean he can't use it. Doesn't mean he can't use it. Wouldn't it be just like God to do something extraordinary and unexpected? Wouldn't it be just like him to bring extraordinary good out of something that is so horrible for his glory? When you stop and think about it, you know, in this season, we've actually lost quite a bit. From a church and a faith perspective, there's quite a lot that we've lost. We've lost our ability to just get a free coffee on a Sunday morning, you know, from the church hospitality team. It might not be the best coffee you have ever tasted, but anyone knows that a free coffee is good coffee. In anyone's book, free coffee. You know, we've lost that. We've lost our ability to serve one another in Christian community. We've lost our ability to check our kids into Nations Kids and see those beautiful familiar smiles of the kids team, although we can see them online, which is still great. But we've lost that. We've lost hugs. I am down hundreds of hugs. I'm in hug deficit right now. And as soon as this thing is over, I'm coming for payback. I'm thinking of you, Auntie Anne in Belmont. I'm thinking Tracy, Kelsey, I'm looking at you. I'm coming for payback in Cork, Noreen Fitzgibbons. You are all some of Nations Church better known huggers. And don't you worry about that. I'm coming for payback. But you know, when you think about it, there's a lot that we've lost. But as I've been pondering, I've actually thought, hey, maybe the loss isn't such a bad thing. Because it's occurred to me that you can summarize everything we've lost in one simple phrase. We've lost the status quo. We've lost our ability to do church just by rote. We've lost our ability to just go through the motions of a Sunday church experience. At the moment, we can't do that. You know, the pew warmers, the Sunday Christians, the ones who were just coasting through their Western type Christianity and faith and relying on that Sunday fix, you can't do that anymore. If the only place you ever experienced God, if the only place you ever worshipped God was in the church building, then I want to put it to you, that's not a good place to be right now because it's gone. So if you can't maintain the status quo, then what are you going to do? If you just can't go through the motions of church and faith, then it's going to force your hand to do something different. And the way I see it, we either go one of two ways. Firstly, we could fall away from faith altogether. Now, that's obviously not the desirable option. We don't want you to do that. But the second option, the way I see it, is that we're all forced to wake up. We're all forced to own our faith to a whole new degree and a whole new level. And my prayer for Nations Church and all the people watching and whatever church you're a part of is that not one would fall away from faith, but that every single one would take a step up and a step into faith for their life and the purpose of God for their life. We can no longer rely on the uplifting atmosphere of corporate worship. And if I'm honest with you, sometimes I used to do that. I wouldn't come into the building prayed up. I'd rely on the corporate atmosphere. Sometimes I did that. I can't leverage off that atmosphere to deal with my mood anymore. I can't leverage off that Christian community and gathering to uplift my spirit anymore in this season. To large degrees, that stuff is gone. I have to press into God for myself. I have to build an atmosphere around my life for myself. If it's going to be, then it has to be me. I need to wake up. I need to wake up. You know, Pastor Ken preached at Vision Sunday. It wasn't even 2 months ago. Can you believe that? It feels like an eternity ago. The Vision Sunday wasn't even 2 months ago, and he preached this message, this theme for the year is awaken. Awaken. Little did we know back then where we would be right now. And yet God knew. God knew. And this word awaken, I believe it stands like a prophetic banner over our year. It hasn't lost its intensity or its potency just because of the season we find ourselves in. If anything, it's actually gained an intensity as this call goes out for every believer to wake up. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, and I might do, and I apologize, but sorry, not sorry. I've called this message Wake Up because I really don't believe that God has finished saying all that he wants to say and stirring all that he wants to stir at this time. I don't know about you, but I feel myself waking up. And I'm the pastor, you know, but I feel myself waking up. If you had asked me before COVID-19, if you had asked me, you know, are you asleep to the purposes of God? Well, I would have probably in my pride taken a bit of offense. Go, no, of course I'm not asleep to the purposes of God. I'm the pastor. If I'm asleep, you're in trouble. You know, I probably would have something like that. But, you know, as I've thought in retrospect, maybe I wasn't as awake as I should have been. Maybe I wasn't as awake as God wanted me to be. Who knows? There's a big difference between just barely awake and like double espresso kind of awake. There's a big difference between those things. I don't know about you, but when I'm just barely awake, I'm not very switched on. Like I can do stupid things like put the milk back in the pantry, you know what I'm saying? You know, put my t-shirt on inside out. These are the types of things I do. I'm getting real with you this morning. This is what I do when I'm just barely awake. But when you've had a double espresso, you know, when you're double espresso kind of awake, your eyes go ding, you know, and you're like alert and you're ready for whatever can come your way. Little bit of a funny story. Ken and I, we've actually stopped drinking this year. caffeinated coffee. We've been drinking decaf. This is confession time right now. We've been drinking decaf. And, you know, before you go judging me, don't you worry. I'm judging myself. I feel a lot of shame when I order a decaf at the cafe, you know. I'm going to hang my head and lower my voice. I'll have a decaf. And you know, hoping that nobody else around me hears me because I'm embarrassed. But nonetheless, that's what we've done, you know, in order to try and be a little bit healthier. But Ken, just a couple of weeks back, after he had been off caffeine for about a month and a half, he accidentally drank a fully caffeinated long macchiato. Well, I think it was 3 shots of espresso. And for that night, no word of a lie, he did not sleep at all. Like, not at all. We woke up the next morning and I'd had a great sleep. I didn't drink the coffee. I just wake up and he's like, honey, I didn't sleep at all. I think it was the coffee. I tried everything. I counted sheep. I sang. I even practiced funny accents. I'm like, what? You practice funny accents? That's weird. But he's like, I didn't sleep at all. You know, that's double espresso kind of awake. That is what double espresso kind of awake looks like to you. And I feel like that's how alert we ought to be to the plans, the purposes, and the things that God is saying and doing. Awake to what he's wanting to release on the earth at this time, not missing anything. As you listen to a lot of preachers and church leaders around the world right now, they're drawing lots of parallels between our situation today and the persecuted church of the New Testament. And there are, when you look at it, there's similarities. Not that we are in persecution. That's not what this is. We're not under fire for our faith. And I, for one, am praising God for that. But this season does actually mimic what was happening in the early church, in as much as we're scattered. In biblical times, they were scattered because of the threats, because of the hostility. We're obviously scattered because of a virus. Nonetheless, both scenarios have the church scattered. And both scenarios actually present a significant trial to the church. So when we read these epistles to persecuted churches, there's this sense to which we can maybe relate to them a little bit better than what we did perhaps in the past. And I want to spend the rest of our time together today in the book of 1 Peter, because the book of 1 Peter was actually written to persecuted Christians. And because of this persecution, these guys had been scattered throughout the whole region of Asia Minor. They found themselves displaced. They found themselves under all sorts of oppression from their neighbors because of their faith. They were in a season, it was very tough times for them. And it was in the context of them having been scattered and experiencing these difficulties that the Apostle Peter was compelled to write to them to bring them an encouragement, to bring them some reassurance in the middle of what it was they were facing. And he writes to them, in essence, to tell them to wake up to who you are in Christ and wake up to what you have because of him. And as much as 1 Peter was awakening these early Christians in their moment of difficulty, it also serves to awaken us in our moments of difficulty. And one of the first things he writes in chapter 1 to these scattered Christians, he says, it's time to wake up to a living hope. Wake up to a living hope. We're going to read together from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Right where you're at, just say living hope. He's given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through your faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. powerful passage of scripture, Peter is reminding these guys that in Jesus they have a living hope. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's difficulties. Nonetheless, you still have a living hope. Hope is so important. Hope is defined as the confident expectation of good. This expectation that better days are coming, that you're going to see better things to come. You know, in this season we find ourselves in, you don't have to look very far to find hopelessness. There's a lot of people feeling hopeless. They've lost things. They've lost businesses. They've lost finance and wealth. And in that, they've maybe lost dreams. They've lost aspirations. And because of the loss of these things, it's actually meant that they have lost hope. The thing about hope is that actually it needs an attachment. Hope needs to attach to something. You put your hope in something. And hope is only ever going to be as stable as the thing that it is attached to. If your hope is attached to people or things, well, I can already tell you that that is a shaky hope, because people and things are shaky. They're shaky. Timothy understood this when he wrote. He said, don't put your hope in wealth. It is so uncertain. Essentially, he's saying, you know, when you put your hope in wealth, when you put your hope in possessions or paychecks or any of these things, if they crash, your hope is going to crash with it. Your hope is going to crash along with it. If our hope right now is in a particular global outcome, or our hope is in, you know, a government or government bailout packages, if our hope is in a vaccine, or in medical science or all of those things, well, we should be nervous, because those things are unstable. Those things are not certain, not wise places to attach our hope. But revival, I believe the essence of revival is Christians everywhere waking up to the fact that they have a living hope. Our hope is not dead and it cannot die. Our hope cannot die because we have a resurrected Savior who rose again in power and conquered all death. Death might be around. Death might even strike. Calamity, fires, storms, they may befall us. They probably will befall us. But regardless, our hope lives on, because it was never supposed to be attached to an earthly thing anyway. Peter explains that our hope is attached to our eternal inheritance, an inheritance that is kept by us for God, our loving Father, and has been secured for us by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the believer's hope. This is your hope. This is my hope, anchored, attached to Jesus, and secured for all eternity. And Hebrews said, let us hold unswervingly to this hope we profess, because God who promised is faithful. Let it stir hope in your heart, because regardless of what's going on around you, nothing and no one can taste or touch the hope that lives inside of you. Amen? Amen. When we awaken to hope, what we find is that we also wake up to joy. We wake up to joy. Peter goes on to say in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, he says this, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, I love this. You believe in him and you are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's a weird passage on the surface of things because it talks about joy and suffering in the same breath. Like what's with that? At first glance, that makes no sense. How can you have joy when things are tough? How can you greatly rejoice, as Peter says, when you're persecuted, when you're suffering grief? How do those things become compatible? What we got to understand is that joy is actually different to happiness. We know that everyone desires happiness. Happiness as a subject has been mused about in so many different ways. There's blogs and articles and podcasts and movies and all these things on the topic of happiness. Every conversation known to man has been had on happiness. But happiness so often has to do with happenings. With happenings. Happenings go up and down, and therefore happiness goes up and down. But biblical joy is a different construct altogether. I want to tell you that biblical joy is your permanent possession because your living hope is a permanent possession. The joy that Peter spoke of was not found in what was going on around them, but the joy was found in who was living in them. It's the same with our joy. Our joy is not contingent on everything getting back to normal and the world coming back into order. But revival is all about, the essence of revival is all about waking up to the fact that our joy is found in Jesus, in him. The book of Romans says this, it says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We understand from Galatians that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means if the Holy Spirit hasn't left you, then your joy can't leave you. How good is that? Your joy can't leave you. Maybe you feel like you have lost your joy in this season. Maybe you feel like, you know, you just can't find it and this season has robbed you of joy. But I would say, why don't you ask yourself the question, how much room have you been making for the Holy Spirit? How much of his life is getting airtime in your life? Because one of his fruits is joy. There's a sense, you know, that joy can even increase in the middle of trial and suffering. I want to explain. You know, Peter puts it like this. He says that the tests that we go through refine our faith. Just like gold is refined in the fire, so that anything that is not genuine, anything that is not pure is burned up, and what you're left with after the test is actually the real deal. The test is something that reveals. You know, you could build a boat in your backyard. You could do that. I don't know who's done that, but you could do that. But until you test that boat on water, you actually don't know what kind of boat it is. You don't know whether it's a good boat or a terrible boat. It's the test of the water that's actually going to prove the boat, whether it's good or not. And when the boat holds up in the test of water, your heart is filled with joy because you know you've got something that's great. You know you've got something that is awesome. And it's the same with our faith. We can have faith, but until our faith is tested, we don't really know what sort of faith we've got. It's only through the fire, it's only through the tests of life that the genuineness of our faith is actually revealed and becomes faith that is proven to the glory of God. The joy will increase as you realize, hey, this faith is actually worth something. This faith is actually standing up in my time of testing, in my my time of trial. The Apostle Paul, he put it like this. He says, I'm hard pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I am not in despair. I am struck down, but guess what? I'm not even destroyed. What's he doing? He's exclaiming the joys of faith that has been proven genuine, proven real, even in the context of the test. Wake up to our joy. And I want to say, you know, when we wake up to that living hope, when we wake up to joy, we can't help but wake up to others. We're going to wake up to others. See, Peter commanded this scattered community, scattered throughout the region of Asia Minor, he commanded them to continually be about others. He says this in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 10. It says, above all, where you are right now, say above all. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. How good is that? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve one another as faithful stewards of God's grace given you in its various forms. So this passage that I've chosen to read is actually just one of many within the epistle of 1 Peter that encouraged the believers to love one another. It says, love one another deeply. Love one another from the heart. Love furiously, even in difficult times. You guys aren't actually let off the hook when it comes to showing regard to others. And see, an awakened church, a people that have woken up to a living hope and woken up to this joy, they can't help but also wake up to the fact that it's not just for us, it's also for others. When the church began in the book of Acts, revival actually broke out. It was amazing. And Acts chapter 2 records that God was adding to the number in the church daily. It says 3,000 were added in a day. What an incredible day that was for the early church. And we read about these new converts. And the thing that strikes me is they were a people who were awoken to others. They stayed in fellowship with one another. They shared with one another. They gave to one another. The scripture says, as anyone had need, they gathered together and met that need. Nobody told them to do that. That wasn't like a mandate coming down from the apostles. It wasn't coming from the leadership. They weren't just following orders. This, their life for others, was just coming out of an overflow. It was coming out of the overflow of hope, out of the overflow of joy, out of the overflow of what Christ had done in them. They were then pouring it out for others. Freely they have received, now freely they also give. This is what revival looks like. This is where revival starts. It's not in the mass gatherings necessarily, although I can't wait to get back there, but it's in every believer. Every believer waking up. Every believer realizing that they are the ministers. You are the minister. It's not just up to the pastors. It's not just up to the leader. It's you, your life, awake to hope, awake to joy, awake to what Christ is doing and saying, and then overflowing to those around you. If anything's going to go viral in this season, let hope go viral. If anything's going to go viral, let's let joy go viral. Let's let the gospel go viral. I want to be contagious with hope and joy and life so that when people see me, they'll glorify him. You know, just the last couple of days, I've heard some cool testimonies. A Christian business owner in Nations Church having unique and unprecedented opportunities to pray for clients that would never have normally kind of been like that at all. It's incredible. I heard a testimony of a church member whose family member had actually been diagnosed with coronavirus in another country. And through that experience, they had an opportunity to join together and take communion together and pray together. And the good news is that her condition has radically turned around and she's getting better and better and better. And not only is she getting her healing, but also it's awoken her to new things in God for her own life. This is what it's all about. Every member and minister, God's people awakened to what he's saying and what he's doing. Hey, we're so serious about being awakened to others in this time that we've actually been working on a website. It's nationschurch.com/others. On this website, you're going to find ideas about everything that you can do to wake up to others. I know there's a lot we can't do right now, but there are some things that we still can do. So on the website, you'll see ideas like, you know, just be an encouragement, send a text, send a scripture, pray with someone over the phone, something like that. Other ideas like check in on someone who's doing it tough. Who do you know that lives alone? Have you called them? Have you actually reached out to them? I don't care whether Christian, non-Christian, what age, demographic, race, anything. It doesn't matter. Just reach out. Check in. Other ideas like give or share with others. You know, just be a blessing. If you've got some material margin, look for someone who's in material lack. It doesn't have to be announced with trumpets or anything. You can just give in a way that will bless people. There's another idea is simply to tell your story. The greatest gift we can give anyone is to let them know what Jesus has done for us. We don't need to know all the answers. Just tell your story. So when you do one of these things, we're asking you to actually go to the website and log what it is that you've done. It's all anonymous. Nobody needs to know who did what. But as you log what you did and how many times you did it, collectively we will get to come to a place where we can see what God is doing, even in this season when we can't see one another. We'll be adding to that website over the weeks new ideas, new initiatives, new ways that you can be a blessing, as well as the testimonies of what God has done that we pray will inspire you. I feel like this website's going to be a meeting point for us to be about others. We say we're about others, but for us to actually be about others. The scripture says we need to spur one another on to love and good works. And I believe this website will do just that. It'll spur us on so that we get to see. You know, although we might be isolated in this season, we're definitely not a sleep church. You, me, we don't want to be a sleeping disciple. We don't want to be a church that's not awake to what God is doing. We might be scattered right now, but by faith, revival is now. And by faith, revival can break out in your home and in your world to the glory of God. Amen. 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 I hope you got something out of that, wherever you're watching from. And we're just going to take a moment, as we do in every single Nations Church service. I'm going to address you right now if you don't know Jesus. You've never made your peace with God by inviting Jesus into your heart. Or maybe you did do that a long time ago, but you know you're not walking with him right now. And I just want to speak to you for a couple of moments. The Bible is so clear that people can have a real and living relationship with God. Not that people can have a religious experience. That's not what this is about. But that people can have a real and living relationship with God. The Bible actually says that God so loved you, the maker of heaven and earth, he so loves you that he sent Jesus, the perfect Son of God. He sent him to the earth and he died on that Roman cross. In his perfection, he died for our sins. He carried them on his body. It wasn't fair, but he did it for us. He didn't deserve it. It was our price to pay. But he carried our sin, our shame, our sickness, our grief, our troubles, and our pain. He carried them all on the cross at Calvary. And he died. And then God the Father rose him from the dead. And he said, "It is finished." All that guilt, all that pain, all that trouble, all that trial that you've been carrying for years and even decades, it can be gone. It can be finished because Jesus' work at the cross through his death and resurrection was finished. It's finished. It's finished. He loves you so much. He hungers for a relationship with you, but you have to open your heart to him. It's going to mean you have to swallow a bit of pride. I feel like I'm speaking to someone and you prided yourself on your independence. You prided yourself on being able to hold it all together on your own. But something's happened right now and you've realized, I'm not the man. I'm not the woman. I can't hold this all. Jesus is with you right now. I'm having this word of knowledge for you because he loves you. He wants to minister to you. That's so good. That's so good. Whoever you are out there that's watching and you don't know Jesus, but right now you're saying, I want to change that. Can I change that? Will you help me to change that? Yes, I can. It's so simple. It's just about believing in him, believing that Jesus did what he said he did and was who he said he was, the perfect Son of God. Believe it and then open your heart to receive it. Pray a simple prayer to receive him into your life. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And if you're in your living room, your bathroom, your kitchen, your car, your park, whatever, if you're somewhere and you're saying, I want to receive Jesus today, and I ask you to pray after me. And this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your hour. So are you ready to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again so that I could have life. Father, right now, come into my life. Forgive all of my sins. Wash away my mistakes. Remove my pride and everything that separates me from you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for persisting with me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, I bless you. If you just prayed that for the first time or the first time in a long time, I bless you. We're celebrating with you. There are thousands of Christians around the world right now celebrating the decision you just made because we know what it's like. We know what it's like. And we'd encourage you, don't do your journey with Jesus on your own. We have a free resource pack that we'd love to put in your hands. It's got a Bible. It's got some information about the decision you just made and the prayer you just prayed. If you wonder where to from here, it'll tell you all of those things. What you need to do is go to nationschurch.com/my decision. Follow the steps there. You'll be able to unlock that free resource package, and we'd love to get in touch with you and help you on this journey. So good. Nations Church, we're not done just yet. We're not done just yet. Come on, in your living room right now, in your space right now, whatever country you're dialing in from right now, in Phnom Penh right now, just wherever you are, just respond to the Father. respond to the Father. Don't respond to the sound of my voice. Don't respond to obligation or anything like that. Respond to His Holy Spirit. He knows no boundaries. He's with you in your room. I know it's weird. I know going to church in your living room is so strange, but He is there. Open your heart, lift your faith to know He is as real in your home as He's ever been in the church building. He is with you. And I just want to ask you this one question. Actually, I want to ask you a few more questions than one. How's your hope? How's your hope in this season? How is your joy? If you were to be honest with yourself, are you just barely awake to the things of God? Or are you wide awake? Are you wide awake? Because God wants to meet with you. God's trying to get our attention on the earth right now. It's as if the alarm clocks of heaven are sounding and beckoning to the people. Would you wake up? Would you wake up? Revival is now. Revival is here. Revival is now. It's where you're at if you're willing to receive it. Revival is in your home. Revival is in your hearts as the people of God. Wake up to the living hope. Wake up to joy. We don't want to be a people who miss what God is doing in this season. We don't want to miss it, but we want to be alert and awake to everything God is doing. And if you're struggling right now, the Bible says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Bible says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Just press on in faith. Persevere in faith. Keep on going in faith. It'll be yours in faith. He's not a liar. He hasn't tricked you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Just keep on in faith. And if you're there right now, wherever you are in your home, if you're there, and your heart's desire is to be wide awake to the things of God, regardless of the season, just stretch out your hands. Let a cry start to come out of your heart, out of your mouth, to the living God. To the living God. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to You in faith. And I just pray that You would invade every room, invade every space that people might be watching from right now. Father, I pray if it feels like their hope has been lost, their joy has been lost, I pray for revelation to fall like fire in their living room. I pray, Lord God, that the lights would go on around their thought life, around the meditations of their thoughts and their hearts, that they would awaken to the reality of Christ in a whole new way, in a whole new level. Father, that we would be a church that wakes up. We don't want to miss what You're doing on the earth right now, Father God. We cry out, would You use us? Would You use us? Would You use us? To bring revival, to bring a great spiritual awakening in this day and in this hour. Father, I pray that we would wake up to others. I pray as it bubbles up in us, as it bubbles up in us, that we would overflow, God, that we would overflow, Lord God, to every delivery driver we meet, to our next door neighbors, to our colleagues in the office, Father God, to the people we see at the park and on the streets and riding here and there. Father God, there would be an overflow. Let hope go viral. Let joy go viral. Let peace go viral. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.